Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I suppose the biggest thing I've learnt is that property investment is not a lot to do with property. It's very little to do with property. It's about how you work your numbers, how you work your finance.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shump, and in this episode, we speak with Jeremy Allen, a longtime property investor with his own consultant company, eager to share his investment experiences for the benefit of others. After losing all the profits he had made over 3 years in an investment deal gone wrong, Allen shares the lesson he has learned and his beginnings in the industry. Building on his own experience as a property investor, Allen makes sure to cater his individual clients' needs when helping them to make profitable investment deals.
I have a company called Equity Creators. We make money for people in property, and we do that through various methods. We don't have one particular strategy. It all depends on what the client can do at the time and where they want to end up with their investing career. We see people that want a quick fix, they want to make a quick buck for the next couple of years, or they want to set up a retirement fund. It depends on really what they want to do. We get all sorts of requests, as you can imagine. We basically, because we don't actually have any property that we sell per se, we look at the client situation, and depending on what they want to do, what they want to get out of the property transaction, we go and find and put together the deal, the project to suit their outcome.
On any given day, Allen spends his time talking to agents and researching for each of his clients.
We're talking to agents and looking for sites across the country where we can add value to them in one way, shape, or form. It could be a house, it could be a block of land. We're running numbers constantly. Running formulas and trying to see what we could extract out of a property in the way of cash flow or in the way of profit, and then weighing that up against the clients and seeing if that helps them to go into a better situation next year or the year after or 5 years time.
He never imagined that property investment would become his main income stream, having simply started in the sales and real estate industry.
So I was born in Fremantle, WA, and throughout my life went to 8 different schools, but I was in Fremantle until I was 13, moved to Sydney, finished my schooling over there, and then did a brief stint back in WA for a couple of years, and then my mother passed away. And then when she passed away, I moved back to Sydney. My dad had started a new company. He was an insurance broker, sold out of his old insurance brokerage firm. And he started a new company in Sydney in New South Wales. And I moved over to work with him till about the age of, 25. And then I was in sales. I was ever in sales ever since I was about 16 years old, selling events for hotels and pubs and cafes and things like that. So I went into real estate after working with my dad for a short stint, realizing that working for your old man and both being quite big-headed about where to take the business, decided it was best just to leave. And I then went into real estate and general real estate, went worked for a Ray White agency in Frenchs Forest.
In real estate, Allen learned valuable sales and communication skills.
I just jumped in, and Ray White had a interesting induction period, I suppose you call it. They had a external company that trained new agents and gave them a head start. And I'll never forget, you know, I was pretty much back then. It was RP Data, and there was no phone number. All the phone numbers you could get on RP Data at the time. So I was given a territory, given a phone, and a computer with RP Data on it, and said, "Right, go get some listings." That was my introduction to real estate.
So it was really throwing you into the deep end. There was no turning back.
Yeah. Well, actually, when I worked for my dad, it was cold calling, and back then when I was working for my dad, there was hardly an internet around. It was yellow pages back then, and my introduction to his company was yellow pages. Go get some business. My advice is start from Z, work backwards, because everyone starts from A and works forwards.
Alan was first introduced to property investment via an ex-colleague, where he received the opportunity to work on the IT systems and within the sales department for a consultant company.
I had employed a telemarketer to come work with me. And she was a property manager from years back. And she was doing my cold calls for me. And what she wanted to get back into property management. So she left and went and worked for another company. I didn't know the company at the time. It turned out to be Positive Real Estate in the end. But she went and worked with them. She gave me a call one day and said, "Look, these guys looking for someone to come in and work with the sales team and work with the other office up in Queensland. They're just sort of getting up and going." And I was good at putting together systems. On the side of my real estate business, I had a voice over IP business as well. I was still installing phone systems into real estate agencies. So I kind of had this going on at the same time. I was actually considering going to IP services at the time. And so I went and met the owner of Positive at the time, so Sam Staggers, who was his name, and he told me all about this property investment industry. He told me the numbers that were happening, and I didn't actually believe him at first. And I thought, no, I'm sort of probably awake enough to know that this guy is not exactly telling me the whole truth. Left that meeting, and about 4 weeks later, my telemarketer, the girl who was a telemarketer, gave me a call again, Jody. She said, "Look, these guys really want someone. Come in and have another chat. These guys are for real." So I went and had another chat. And what they were offering at the time, he said, "Look, we just need someone for 3 months just to sort out some systems with the sales team and that sort of thing." So what they offered me at the time, during that 3 months, I could leave real estate and start my IT business. So I thought, okay, I'll jump on board. So went on board with them, and I think within 2 weeks of me pulling that company apart and going through it bit by bit, I was amazed at what was happening with the number of properties and how easily people were buying property. That was really my first awareness of property investment in the industry. So of course I was like a deer in the headlights. I went back to Sam 2 weeks and said, "Look, I want to stay here for good. this is amazing. I want in on this." He said, "Well, that's great, because we don't have a clue what you've done, so we need someone to keep running it."
His experience at the consultant company would form the basis of all his knowledge on property investment today.
From there, I spent the next 4 years with Positive Real Estate in various roles, and those first couple of years were my training ground. Everything, you know, what I do today and the concepts I take into my property investing or strategies today have all come from what Sam's taught me over those years. And he taught me about negotiating, taught me about everything we use today. So, from Positive Real Estate, I went and worked with a couple of other companies. The family situation was starting to get a bit full on, and I needed some more time at home. So I went and worked for a couple of companies, and one day, I'd always been doing, I suppose, where this segued into what I'm doing now. I was never doing add value type property. I was never doing subdivisions or the type of things that we're doing now. I was doing off the plan type, like selling current stock or selling off plan units or house and land packages, that type of thing, brand new. And I hadn't really gone into the subdivision or the add value type property investing before.
Alan's first time using a strategy like subdivision on an investment property was assisted by an expert conveyancer who showed him the benefits of subdivision.
I bought a property. I remember buying a property in a place called Hoppers Crossing in Victoria. And it was near a new estate that was being built there called Tarneit. It was just up and coming at the time. I bought a property there for $165,000, I remember. And I bought it purely for the reason that it was near an up and coming area, and I was going to capitalize on the growth. And anyway, I bought this property. Well, I took a contract to my conveyancer at the time. The conveyancer, I wish I could remember his name for the life of me, because I'll tell you what happened. He took this contract. He said, "Oh, Jeremy, I think you might be able to subdivide this property." I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "Well." This is what you do. You know, you do this, this, and this, you know, hopefully you make some money. I said, "Okay, well, how do I work that out?" He said, "We'll talk to the agent and find out how much each of the bits of property would be worth afterwards and go from there." I said, "Okay, sure." He said, "Look, it's going to cost you around 30 grand to do, and I can do it for you." So, he said, "If it costs about 30 grand to do, go work it out." I said, "Okay." So, it was pretty good numbers. Math was my strong point at school. Went and hunted down the agent, worked out how much the bits of property were going to be worth afterwards. And on paper, I was looking like making about 80 grand. And I thought, we'll give this a go. It's going to cost 30 grand. We'll give it a go and see what happens. So between him, there was a guy at council and the surveyor that he pointed me to, between the three of them, I'm sure to this day, I've never had that experience again, but they pretty much did the whole thing for me.
After watching the success of his first subdivision project, Alan realised how gaining profits in property investment is comparable to winning the lottery.
I'm sure they just used me as like a, they're having some fun with me. But they took me out of their wing kind of thing and just went, okay, this is what's going on. But in about 10 months' time, I had made most people I'd seen come through the off the plan system, like people that go and buy off the plan apartments. Within 10 months, I'd done more. I'd made 100% of my cash back, then some, in that 10 month period. People were struggling to do that in 2 years. So I'd been around enough, and I'd been on, we'd been on stage and done seminars and that type of thing with Positive. And the strategy was buy a property a year in growth suburbs, capital growth, da da da. After 10 years, you'll have enough cash, reinvest that, you live on whatever it was you want to live on for the rest of your life. Although it was happening, it was a struggle to make it happen, struggle to pick those areas, because it's kind of like I see that type of investing as like trying to win lottery kind of thing. You know, you've got to pick the best areas. Yes, there's research that goes into it, but I find that you're kind of out of control. So with this sort of new development I'd done, it was only a 1-in-2 lot subdivision. I'd done that in 10 months, and I could see it happening, and I was actually able to calculate it. So that gave me an idea, and I went, okay, fine, I'll do this again. So I did it again, made some more, and by that stage I was kind of in my early 30s, and I had not had a loss in property. So, of course, I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. So I thought I could do this anywhere. The following year taught me a massive lesson. I lost all the equity I'd made in those first 3.5 years. I lost all that in 1 year. 1 year. And that then taught me a very big lesson in following your process.
Coming up after a break, we'll delve further into Alan's property investment journey as he shares his worst investment moment.
It took me a year and 2 months to get rid of that property. And I had lost around about $470,000, right, in that 12-month period.
The lessons learnt from his mistakes.
I went through every number on that property, every number I could think of. And I had these formulas down, put them in Excel. I just made sure that I was not... My main thing was I just did not want to lose a cent for this woman.
His biggest aha moment so far on his property journey.
An aha moment would have been when I... The biggest aha moment I had was when I finally stepped out of my own and went, right, I'm going to do this, and I started my own business.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Are you looking at buying or investing in property? Don't panic. Property is still a great investment. Is it now the time to buy, sell, or hold? Find out from Australia's leading industry experts on how to take advantage of today's market. You'll learn the secrets to renovating for profit or gain the knowledge, skills, and motivation to invest at the First Home Buyers Masterclass, plus much, much more. Whether you're a new or experienced investor, you can't miss the Sydney Property Buy Expo on the 7th, 8th, and 9th of September. Use the promo code PI for a 3-day free pass valued at $50. For tickets and more information, visit propertybuyexpo.com.au. Now back to the show. Currently, Alan has a set of rules he must follow when choosing a property to invest in. The rules were made after his biggest investment blunder to date.
I've got about 5 major rules that I take into any deal I do, right? Any deal I do. It's got to be able to return my cash within 12 months and the asset and me maintain the asset as well. So what I mean by that is whatever deal we go into, whatever cash is put into the deal, I don't look at what's leveraged so much. I don't look at what's borrowed. I look at what the cash. And if I can go into a deal, have it produce cash flow, be able to pull out, after pulling out my cash, so pulling the equity out of the deal afterwards, replacing the cash I'd spent, and then the asset maintaining itself still, that's kind of rule number one, right? And then rule number two is to do with the market. If the market does take a turn, I like to keep a minimum three is probably safe, three assets in a particular market. That way, if the market does take a turn, I could sell one down, two down, and then maintain my place in the market still. It doesn't need to be within 15, 20 Ks of CBD, but there needs to be, if it's going to be country town, it's got to be some of the major economic turn happening in there, like a Bunnings, I don't want to say major economic for a country town, Bunnings going in or McDonald's going in or something like that.
His worst investment moment occurred when he grew overconfident in his money-making skills.
Now, those three things I did not even look at, right, when I went and bought this property. I remember having a contract in front of me one night from a computer. I had a couple of beers and just signed off on it, went for it. I thought, oh, well, look, you know, it's hard to explain, but I hadn't experienced a failure in property investment before. So I didn't know what it felt like, and I wasn't really worried about it at the time because I just, you know, it couldn't touch me. I was making money. The other thing is the market. If the market does take a turn, you bail out straight away. So when you go and liquidate assets, don't think about it. Just do it, right? And when you're going to do it, drop the price below market just to get rid of it.
Alan's biggest mistake was forgetting to calculate the exact development costs before buying the property.
What happened from here on was I ended up, the cash I had set aside, I hadn't done my numbers up front. There's another rule I always do. We need to know to the cent what the whole development's going to cost before we even go unconditional on the property. So I need a fixed price quotes off everybody. And everything's fixed price before I've even bought the property, right? So I need to know all that. And that and us do the numbers, still makes sense. I hadn't done that, right? So the cash I had set aside, I thought, oh yeah, that'll be enough. Hadn't gone and got my quote. This is a third. This is the fourth one I've done in Victoria. So I thought, oh yeah, I know the going rate over there. And what turned out to, what I thought was going to be $80,000, ended up being $150,000. So I had to take a personal loan of $70,000 to make up the rest. There was no way this thing was going to return $150,000. So anyway, by the time I'd finished developing the land, the agent actually called me. Said, Jeremy, look, he must be quite concerned, because he actually phoned me and said, mate, you're not going to make money out of this. And I was like, oh, shit. So he said, look, what I reckon do is just stop there, hang on, just rent this thing out for a while, there was an existing house in it, rent it out for a while, and we'll go from there. I said, no, let's put it on the market, let's just get rid of it. I was starting to worry then.
Adding to the disaster, Alan failed to sell the property off as quick as possible and ended up losing more money.
It went to market. He said he gave me a price. I can't remember exactly what the price was at the time. He gave me a price that the thing would sell for. And instead of going below that price, I went above it. 3 months after that, the market had dropped further. And I dropped my price again, but still above market price. Again, next 3 months, went down again. This happened another 3 times, right? And it didn't occur to me what my rules were before all this. It's like, just dump it. And because if I had dropped the price below market price when he first said to me put on the market, I would have been out of there within 3 months. And it took me a year and 2 months to get rid of that property. And I had lost around about $470,000, right, in that 12-month period.
He claims that it was not so much the money that made his experience his worst investing moment, but the dent it made in his confidence.
It wasn't the money so much. It was the dent it made in my confidence. And that affects everything. So it's what, I mean, the money you can make back. It's not hard to make it back. But the thing is, to make it back, you've got to have the mindset. And I was beaten at the time. It was a tough couple of years, a few years, I should say. I went and worked for people. I was just trying to, yeah, it was a tough couple of years.
After such an experience, Alan vowed to never repeat his mistakes for his clients when he started his own consultant company.
When I started my business, because of that time of life, I hadn't actually done anything for anyone else before. It was all for myself. I remember my first client back then came to me, and came to me through a friend who knew I was doing what I was doing, had a little more faith in me than what I did at the time. And she referred me over to one of her friends, and I always remember, I thought, well, like she, it was, she had, at the time, she had $80,000 in equity. And, I thought, okay, she goes, look, I really want to do something with it. It wasn't really hard sell as such. It was more like, I'm doing her a favor. And I didn't charge her anything for it. I was just, okay, fine. I'll use this to kind of, get myself back in the game. So took my time. I'll never forget it. It took me around 3 weeks to find something that I was confident enough to put somebody into. And I went through every number on that property, every number I could think of. And I had these formulas down, put them in Excel. I just made sure that I was not, my main thing was I just did not want to lose a cent for this woman. Not want to lose a cent. It was everything she had left. I wasn't going to lose a dollar for her. And anyway, took my time, went through it step by step, and retraced my steps that I did when I was making money. And when you focus on things like that, when you say an aha moment, right? I have them every year. Every year I learn something about the relationship between finance and property and cash flow and cash, like all these sorts of KPIs that we look at when we're going through property investment. Every year I learn something.
Alan believes that his biggest aha moment was starting his own company.
An aha moment would have been when I had was when I finally stepped out of my own and went, right, I'm going to do this, and I started my own business. and relied on fees to keep myself alive. That was probably realizing I could do it. And that was the aha moment, probably came from that. It's not so much from the property. When you focus on something like that, when you really drill down and work out, when you really drill down to the numbers, every cent that goes in, every cent that comes out, and why it goes in and why it comes out, you find an amazing number of relationships between what you spend. If you give me an average yield of a market in right now, anywhere in Australia, I can tell you how much cash you need to put into a property, how much that'll return in rent, how much profit you'll make, and what the debt will be worth afterwards. Now, I just know that because there's a relationship between all those numbers, and it can be followed. While I don't completely rely on the formulas, they're a great guide. I suppose the biggest thing I've learnt is that property investment is not a lot to do with property. It's very little to do with property. It's about how you work your numbers, how you work your finance.
So, inspired by Jeremy Allen's story, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode where he shares some of the best advice he's received.
I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that people make, is setting too many goals and too many targets in one hit. It's amazing what you'll find if you want to set some personal goals.
One of the habits most contributing to his success.
So each day I'm refocusing on the day and what I need to do now.
His future goals.
I want to create coaching centres where we train people who vanished or haven't had the luxury of having a good childhood.
And that's next time in a future episode on Property Investory. Also, are you looking at buying property in 2018? Would you like expert tips and advice on the best ways you can purchase property? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts by downloading the Property Investment Buying Handbook. It contains the best tips and advice from 37 of Australia's leading property experts. Simply visit propertyinveststory.com and subscribe to get your copy right now. Thanks for listening.